In the quiet halls of Mount St. Agnes Monastery in the 15th century, a humble monk penned words that would echo through 5 centuries of spiritual seeking. "He who follows me shall not walk in darkness," begins Thomas à Kempis, setting the foundation for perhaps the most influential Christian text after the Bible itself. What makes this work so enduring? While many spiritual guides offer lofty theological concepts, Thomas provides something far more valuable, practical wisdom for the everyday struggle to live virtuously. His words cut through complexity with a surgeon's precision, offering a direct path to spiritual growth that has guided souls as diverse as saints, reformers, and modern seekers. The book's profound simplicity explains why it has been translated into more languages than almost any text except the Bible itself. Thomas challenges our tendency to accumulate possessions, knowledge, reputation, and opinions. "What good does it do to speak learnedly about the Trinity," he asks, "if you lack humility and therefore displease the Trinity?" This isn't anti-intellectualism, but a reordering of priorities. Knowledge without action becomes spiritual vanity. The journey begins with honest self-assessment of our attachments. By emptying ourselves of worldly preoccupations, we create space for divine presence. We must empty our hearts of everything else, for it is only when we are empty that Jesus can fill us with Himself. The kingdom of God is within you. External religious practices matter little without inner transformation. This interior journey requires silence and solitude, where the devout soul makes progress and learns the hidden mysteries of Scripture. Thomas values heart knowledge over intellectual understanding. "It is better to feel contrition than to know its definition." Self-knowledge reveals our need for grace, leading to the liberating recognition that God works through our limitations when we acknowledge them. Have you ever noticed how we embrace only the pleasant aspects of spiritual life while avoiding its demands? "Jesus has many who love His heavenly kingdom, but few who bear His cross," Thomas observes. "He finds many companions at His feasting, but few at His fasting." The cross manifests differently in each life: physical illness, difficult relationships, professional setbacks. Our response determines its spiritual value. Nothing is more acceptable to God, nothing more beneficial for you, than to suffer willingly for Christ. This teaching directly counters our culture's pursuit of comfort. Thomas insists that avoiding suffering diminishes our humanity. If there had been anything better for human salvation than suffering, Christ would certainly have shown it by word and example. Yet this isn't a joyless spirituality. Paradoxically, embracing the cross leads to authentic joy. When suffering becomes sweet and acceptable for Christ's sake, then consider yourself fortunate, for you have found paradise on earth. The cross also fosters compassion, as experiencing our limitations develops patience with others' weaknesses. Have you ever wondered why prayer sometimes flows easily, yet other times feels like a struggle? Thomas addresses these fluctuations with psychological insight. During periods of spiritual sweetness, he warns against 2 temptations: pride, attributing good feelings to our own accomplishments, and dependency, becoming attached to consolation rather than God. More challenging are periods of spiritual dryness when devotional practices bring no emotional satisfaction. No saint was ever so exalted that he did not experience times of spiritual dryness. Rather than abandoning disciplines during these periods, we should persevere, as faithfulness during dryness often yields greater spiritual growth. When consolation is withdrawn, do not immediately despair, but wait humbly for God to visit you again. This patience cultivates spiritual maturity beyond emotional states. We learn to serve God for His sake rather than for good feelings. These fluctuations teach us dependence on God, preparing us for deeper union based on truth rather than transient emotions. Love feels no burden, regards not labors, strives toward more than it can attain, argues not of impossibility, since it believes that it may and can do all things. For Thomas, love forms the essence of spiritual life, not sentimental feeling, but a profound orientation of the will toward God and others. Thomas distinguishes between natural affection and spiritual love. Natural affection remains limited by self-interest, while spiritual love transcends these limitations, seeking God's glory rather than personal satisfaction. This love manifests through actions rather than emotions. Love is proved not by many words nor by fervid feelings, but by the sincerity of our deeds. The ultimate expression of love is complete self-surrender to God's will. Perfect freedom consists in this, not doing what pleases us, but what pleases God. This paradox, that true freedom comes through submission, contradicts modern notions of autonomy, but aligns with Christ's teaching. Love transforms suffering into meaningful opportunities for spiritual growth. Thomas insists that love must extend beyond comfortable relationships to include difficult people, reflecting Christ's example of loving enemies. Viewing our struggles through eternity's lens contextualizes rather than diminishes present life. Thomas asks, "What good is a long life if we amend so little?" Our priorities shift when considering what will matter at life's end. Remember that you may not live until evening isn't morbid, but clarifying. Death reveals what truly matters. The eternal perspective transforms how we see others. Beyond appearance or status, we recognize each person as an eternal soul. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. In our distracted age, Thomas offers interior silence. When social media demands self-promotion, his teachings on humility provide authentic selfhood. In a culture avoiding suffering, his Royal Road of the Holy Cross reveals suffering's transformative potential. The imitation endures because it addresses perennial struggles, pride, worldly attachment, fear of suffering, and our longing for meaning. Thomas reminds us that Christianity isn't primarily about doctrinal assent, but transformation through relationship with Christ. His unified vision offers not merely information about God, but transformative communion with Him. Thomas provides concrete practices for spiritual growth, emphasizing regular self-examination. Every night, review how you have behaved during the day in word, deed, and thought. This builds self-awareness and prevents spiritual stagnation. Prayer is central to his guidance, not elaborate formulas, but simple, heartfelt communication with God. It is better to pray briefly with devotion and attention than many hours with distraction and boredom. He recommends frequent, short prayers throughout the day to maintain spiritual focus amid worldly activities. Scripture reading should be approached not for intellectual mastery, but personal transformation. In all things, you should take refuge in God, humbly and earnestly beseeching His help, especially in preparing for Holy Communion. Thomas advises reading until finding a passage that stirs the heart, then pausing to let it penetrate deeply. While valuing solitude, Thomas recognizes community's crucial role in spiritual formation. It is good that we sometimes have trials and troubles, for they often make a man look into his heart. Difficult relationships become opportunities to practice patience, humility, and forgiveness, revealing and refining our virtues and vices.